Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 176.
Hello, hello, this is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we overeat on this here Thanksgiving. I am your host, Nagin Farsad, and as you hear this, I am probably face-planting right into a pumpkin pie. Today, as you now know, is American Thanksgiving. Canadian Thanksgiving has already passed. It was October 12th, and we love our Canadian listeners. Hey, guys. And we're giving you plenty to be thankful for. Today, we're serving up big helpings of smart, funny conversations with some of Fake the Nation's favorite funny and smart people that you love, that I love. I know your mouth is watering, so let's just get started with topic number one. You guys, we read a piece by Laura Holson in the New York Times called Are We Living in a Post-Happiness World? And here to talk about it with me are comedian Vicky Cooperman and Matt and podcast host Matt Gourley. Is that right? I don't know. Do you call yourself a comedian? Are you a comedian? Do you do stand-up? I don't even know.
I do some improv and stuff, but I don't go around calling myself a comedian. Okay. So whatever you want.
So you're probably funny.
And podcast host Matt Gourley. Okay, there we go. This is like truncated introductions, whatever. It doesn't matter. You guys, so according to the World Happiness Report, happiness in America is declining. We're number 19 behind Australia and Canada, which feels a little insulting. Do you feel that? And how do you explain it?
I feel it. Oh, yeah. I'll take Canadian weather, Australian spiders now, any day. Any day.
Well, how can you explain the decline in American happiness?
Oh, geez. Okay, back to you, Matt.
Well, yeah, globally, the world seems like a dismal place. Personally, I feel happier, and the more I disconnect from it, sadly, the better I feel. Right. So I feel like that's the lesson I'm being taught these days. I don't like it, but it's just to turn, not inward, like, and retreat into depression, but retreat into my personal life and my house and home and family and just, like, keep it there and switch off. And then I find I'm really happy and calm. And then when I go back to the world, it's scary and anxiety inducing.
And you think that sort of experience is being replicated by an entire population.
You mean people are doing that?
Like that?
I
like,
hope so.
That's probably not that they're doing that, but just that like that feeling of like connectedness is creating a lot of anxiety.
I would bet that on the whole, that's the case. That's all I see. I don't see anybody really enriched. The information was great for a long time, and it helped with careers and entertainment. It's beautiful, but the cost of it is starting to scare me a bit.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, there's the obvious political situation that we're in that I think even for the quote unquote winners has been still makes them angry. The winners are angry. The losers are angry. Everyone's angry. So it was entirely unsurprising that we were we have a declining happiness number, according to the World Happiness Report. I guess like. There's a distinction that this piece is trying to make between joy and happiness. Like happiness is an overall feeling of well-being combined with a sense that one's life has meaning, says the article. Joy, by contrast, is delight in moment. Delight in moments that by their nature are fleeting. So so there's like this kind of – it went from like how to get a happy life to like how to find joy in fleeting like right. one-by-one moments or whatever, because like don't pretend like you can find actual happiness.
I know.
So it's funny because even our rhetoric around happiness and joy has changed.
Standards have gone down.
Standards. Yeah. Yes.
They're like, okay, all right, okay, smile for 5 seconds a day. Okay.
That's your joy. Yeah. That's all you get. Yeah. What did you – do you feel like there should be this distinction between one, you know, joy and happiness?
I certainly never thought about it like that before. If anything, it makes me worried that I'm somehow not doing one or both, you know?
I think it's a marketing thing. I really do. Yeah. No, I do.
Right.
I think
like a series of books that come out.
It's a TED Talk waiting to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. I mean, I think marketers have been like, the public is too smart. We can't sell them a happy life because they're going to see through our bullshit. So let's just sell, you know, the spark joy thing that's, you know, Marie Kondo and like, which I think that as a society, I can only speak for the United States because it's where I live. We're very reactive right now. So we're always on edge.
Yeah.
And the anxiety, I mean, even with social media, I think we're supposed to live one life cycle in our lives. So just like a few births we care about, a few deaths we care about, a few accidents that are traumatic, a few college graduations. And we're experiencing like 80 of those a day.
Yeah.
And I've become desensitized.
It's empathy drain or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like
empathy
we
drain.
Haven't. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh
empathy
God.
Drain.
Wait, is that yours?
Yeah.
I love it.
Guys, that's
wow.
the title of your TED Talk.
Yeah.
Empathy drain. And my TED Talk is that I don't show up for a goddamn TED Talk. And everybody's dismissed. You don't have to listen to a TED Talk. Have some joy.
We are totally in that.
Yeah.
Because it's not, we're not supposed to process that many huge life milestones in
that's
a day.
That's really right.
No, that's absolutely true.
And,
and I'm sick of doing it.
Yeah, me
I
too.
Really am.
And I've become one of those people. I'm like, oh, they had a baby. I'm like, I was very happy for you, Nagin, when
Thank
you had a baby.
You. That's
very,
the correct actually. Thing to say.
Yeah, your grandfather
but,
did.
But, I mean, you're in the circle
yeah,
of my life.
I'm a human being to you.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people that sadly, like you said, empathy drain. I'm like, oh, that's too bad. They couldn't have a baby. They're doing in vitro. And I don't care. It's not because I don't care. It's because I've now,
there's
I've seen 38
things.
Posts.
It's presented to you in a like 15-second video that doesn't have sound in a story. Yeah.
Right. Ugh. And I also think people should stop posting personal stuff.
I agree.
I know. I think there's a couple things. One is you're absolutely right. I think we are suffering from being a part of too many life milestones and from also feeling like, oh, that's a, you know, oh, what a joyous picture of someone in Hawaii. Let me like that. And then, and all of the feelings that come with it that we're not even super conscious of, but like, you know, one of the 22 feelings that come from a simple viewing of that is, I wish I was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
The other one is, why don't I have her thighs? Mm-hmm. The other one is, you know what I mean? It's endless.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where, that's an undercurrent of everything that's draining our happiness and our ability to just, to like literally, like if you said to me, and I remember hearing about your honeymoon and how great, your wedding actually, and how great that sounded, and hearing the story live and in person and feeling like so happy for you that you had such a fucking remarkable and wonderful wedding.
Yeah. I eloped in Costa Rica.
Oh,
which
wow.
is top 15 of the happiest countries in the world, I
think.
Oh,
okay. Yeah,
well
yeah.
done.
Yeah. And right, and the way and the thing you said that I think about like once a month is we went swimming in the morning and we were married in the afternoon.
Yeah. Oh my
right.
god.
Right?
Now that's the whitest thing ever said.
Ever. Yeah. Ever.
But
get you a porch.
I know. Get me a porch.
But
now.
Like I could, you know, like I remember I could feel that like I could hear that story and just like feel a joy from hearing it or whatever.
I feel something then, from hearing it in this
I know,
room.
Right?
I do.
I was in a pool 10, 20 minutes before and these three girls who worked at the front desk were like, do you want to get your makeup done? I'm like, okay.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, right?
But I'm hearing it through your retelling and the look on your face.
Right.
Remembering like, that.
Yeah. This is cool. Yeah. This is joy.
This is
oh,
joy.
Oh, God, we did it. I'm alive again.
We did it.
Oh, my God.
It's funny because if you had posted that story or someone had posted that story, I truly wouldn't have given a shit.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's what it's.
When you told me when I still think about your story about the crazy birth that you had. And I tell people about it. I'm like, it's going to be a one woman show. This is going to be a solo show. This is going to be brilliant. If you'd posted that, I would have been like, I can't.
Another
C-section.
Too much. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. We get it.
Yeah.
You know, and so so I think, right. So our the way we're consuming these things that used to spark joy do not spark joy anymore because we're consuming them through this two-dimensional mediator shit ball of a feed. And then and then what was the other thing I wanted to point out about all of this, which is that, oh, my God, Harry, cut this out. Me trying to remember.
Hi,
consumerism,
Harry.
Too.
Hi, Harry. Harry, I love you.
Well, consumerism's a problem.
I don't remember. But then, yeah. So talk about how consumerism is a problem.
Well, I think
in under 20 seconds.
I like how she's like about to make it really complicated and like esoteric. And then she's like, I'm just going to repeat what you just said. Okay.
Just, so I was like, I don't remember where I was going to take this conversation. So Jos, you do it. You do my job.
We put too much value on material things. This is not a new thing in the United States. We've been talking about keeping up with the Joneses for many decades.
Yeah.
But it's gotten to a point where marketing has gotten so sophisticated, we don't even know.
We don't even know
the
value
nudges.
In it.
Yeah.
Another problem, the United States is not at all by far leading the charge in paid time off. I mean, Germans will travel the world 6 weeks. Australians have like 6 to 8 weeks. Americans don't even take the very dismal vacation time we have. Mm. It is to me, it's disgraceful.
Man, where's Germany on the fucking list?
And the United States doesn't go to overseas. Yeah. We're coming back to this isolationism that's scary to me.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So
a 2017 study published in the Proceedings of National Academy of Science showed that people who spent money on things that helped them save time, like delivery cleaning services, were more satisfied than if they spent money on like expensive wine. So there's I'm conflicted about this, but there is a move towards like how do you get more time out of your day?
Time, yes.
Through some services that I find infantilizing and still materialistic.
Like what?
Just everything that's like all of, you know, subscription things and delivery things.
Oh, right.
And just it's like the world of like don't ever leave your apartment, you know, because while that's true, and I do think that people should what I personally believe is that you should spend money on experiences, not on items.
Agree.
And because, you know, they've done studies on like looking forward to a trip or something is a lot more meaningful. It ends up creating more happiness feelings in you than a new car.
Which is why you should take small short trips so you always have a trip to look forward to.
Exactly.
Great idea. I think sometimes I lean towards the materialistic side, but it's something that is involving an experience, like a musical instrument or like an art tool or a tool for like improving your home or something like that, things that I enjoy.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we need a suitcase to travel, but the point is we're traveling. Yeah, I don't know that I would call that materialistic.
You're right.
It's more like, I need this thing, I need this new thing.
Cut that out.
The funny thing is, like, they talked about kind of joy, you know, marketing being co-opting joy. And I was at the movies the other day, and one of the, it was like a Coca-Cola commercial or whatever, like before the movie, I was at the cinema. And you know, there's like one of these iconic commercials where the kid has got like a huge soda and it's like crinkling, whatever, what's that, where the bubbles are popping at the top of the soda.
Crackling,
of the,
you know, sparkling.
Crackling at the popping. Top. And the kid is just, you know, and the light from the screen is like illuminating his face, and he's like in this darkened theater and there's all these people around, and it's like he's drinking his soda. And in it, truly made me think of my own childhood, right? Of like going to the movies and like buying that Coke and like feeling really great, you know? And I was like, motherfucker, like what an effective ad, because I'm remembering that. I feel it. It's like, I don't like literally never drink soda, but I was like, should I go get a soda? You know what I mean? It works in, it's so insidious the way it does.
Well, that's almost even a harken back to an ad itself, not the experience, because that ad you're describing is such a nostalgic, early, original type of ad.
Totally.
Where it's almost quaint.
Right? Yeah, totally. But the other thing I was going to say was there's something about joy that that's also like a little bit of a like elitist, like Western.
You can choose to have joy.
Right.
Yeah.
There's something about late stage capitalism that makes us think that we deserve a happy life.
Right.
And then when we seek it and don't get it immediately or don't know how to perceive that we already have it, we are unhappy.
Right.
So it's almost like the whole idea that we're entitled to happiness is our own undoing.
It is. We're too self-aware. I mean, I don't know. I hate to bring him up because I was a big fan and it was sad. But watching Anthony Bourdain, he did an episode in Tehran.
Yeah, and I remember that.
He's with this family and they just meet and they eat. They're not self-aware. I mean, they didn't seem self-aware of how happy. They're living the life of human connection and family.
Yes.
And they're making jokes. And it's same actually in Russia, even though, you know, I'm from Russia. And yes, they're like, we're an evil super, not a superpower. We have very low economy, but I don't mean we. Oops, I mean they. The center's going to send me back. But anyway, the point is, it's just like Costa Rica too. People together. That I don't know if happiness is a self-aware thing,
right?
And like you said, we're too self-aware, and now we're saying we deserve this. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll be chasing it.
I took this experiment this summer, and I went off all social media, and
so how long did you do that?
A little over a month.
Okay.
And I basically daily tried to put my phone out of reach. So if a call came in, I could go to it, but I wasn't doing the default checking it thing. And I was never conscious that I was happier until I stopped doing it and went, oh my God, here's the anxiety again.
Right.
So the sad part is you don't recognize that you're happy.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
If you're happy, you shouldn't be thinking you're happy.
No.
It's really easy to acknowledge pain and depression and sadness. So it's weird that the benefit isn't that conscious, but boy, is it worth it. Have you guys ever done that? Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have. It's great. Well, I haven't. I just like reactivated Twitter, but I don't use it and I don't miss it. I don't even go to it. I will just to promote now, like for this.
Yeah,
but somebody who is like a millennial was like, you deactivated Twitter, but you're verified. And I go, you know, it's an app, right? Like it's an app.
Right.
It's an app in your phone.
It's not my child. Yeah.
Is your child verified?
We're working on it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, I think you're right. When we're not in pain, we're not walking around being like, I'm not in terrible stomach pain or I don't have terrible cramps. It's only when we're in pain.
Right.
Like, oh my God.
It's a horrible irony, but.
I do think there is something like, you know, in times when I've been to Iran or like I think I've talked about Cuba before, where it's not about, I mean, again, what little I know about Cuba and even what little I know about Iran, it's because like it's not about
analyzing every moment and thinking that life should be a constant state of orgasm. I think that's part of it. It's like,
wait a minute, life, can it be?
And it cannot be. I mean, the Buddhists will tell you that, right? Like, you have to have the good with the bad, or else you won't even fucking know what good is. And so I think part of it is, we live in a technology sewer, and that's a nightmare that we've created for ourselves, and now we're all just like willingly going along with it, and that's part of our happiness problem. And then the other part of our happiness problem is that we're in this kind of like, we believe we, which is helped by the technology, we believe we deserve this much leisure and this much, you know.
This is how the neural nudges will come.
This is how the neural nudges work.
From another episode.
Do you ever see yourself
from another episode about about reading your brain and neural nudges and marketing? But
when you see yourself 10 years or like in the amorphous future, do you imagine yourself off social media in your retirement?
Yes.
I bet all of us do. I certainly do.
I don't know anyone who's
I don't think it's
like,
going to happen.
No.
So why wouldn't we do it today?
Why don't we? I don't know, because I feel pressure for my career.
That's
I do too, technically.
If I don't care about my friends' babies,
person. You're a podcaster. You have to be on social media. You just have to.
I don't know if I do. I mean, I really don't know. And yet, I'm not going to leave right here and do it.
Right.
No, but you said it when you said you see a picture of someone in Hawaii. Oh, yay. But also, I wish I was there. Why don't I have it? So there's a Buddhist quote, isn't there? I think it's, Oh, yeah. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in this constant, it's capitalism.
Comparison
we have
is the
to,
thief of joy.
Competition is naturally creates comparison.
Yeah.
And if we just stop comparing ourselves and we're like, this is my thing, this is their thing, I'll reach where I want, I'll be on my porch, you know, I'll be with my baby and family, I'll be in Costa Rica without internet, great.
All right, guys, who is joining us in Costa Rica without internet?
Let's go.
Let's all go.
We're not going to know how to meet up, but we'll just see you there. Meet at that tree.
They used to figure it out. People used to stick to plans.
I know.
Before texting.
I used to use a Thomas guide, for fuck's sake.
I don't know what that is.
It's a car map. It was like a whole folder, like a book.
That's so funny.
And you had grids, and you had to like look at a street and then turn to a certain page while you were driving.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's great.
Sounds a little dangerous as
well. Yeah,
you'll be prepared for the apocalypse, these new millennials.
I don't own a new Thomas guide, though. I don't own one.
Guys, order your Thomas guide. That's the point of this segment. All right, now we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're talking about Turkey Day. I will not say gobble, gobble. Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. All of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that. But we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness for like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind, dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, pros prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level. If you think about it, just it makes common sense. Pros are so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at pros.com/FakeTheNation will be taken off. That's pros.com/FakeTheNation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's pros.com/FakeTheNation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So pros.com/FakeTheNation. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing
thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Oh my God, you guys. This episode is dropping on ye old Thanksgiving. And we just thought we would talk about Thanksgiving. I am joined by comedian Ashley England. Hey, Ashley.
Hi, how are you?
And comedian Katie Compa.
Hello.
You guys should absolutely be following them and checking out everything they do because they're both so hilarious. I wanted to talk to you guys about Thanksgiving. Like, what does this holiday say to you? Are there traditions that your family, that you love? Do you like just order pizza? What happens with you guys and Thanksgiving?
I've been away the last few Thanksgivings. It's a good time to travel.
Oh, like you've been in...
Last year I performed, I was on a show on Thanksgiving, and it was in Amsterdam, so no one cared.
Right, nope. Amazing.
I was the only American there. And yeah, otherwise I usually go do Friendsgiving somewhere, either on the West Coast or...
So have you like not really been go to the family Thanksgiving
not
guy?
Not really. I mean, like the Thanksgiving for me is about the food.
Yeah.
And my mom cooks like an insane Thanksgiving dinner. So if she's cooking, I'll go home. But if she's not cooking, and she's like, you know, 72 now. So I'm like, sorry.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
do need you to like haul that bird out of the oven while I watch television for 3 hours. Thank you so much. That is our tradition, mom. Okay. Please respect it. But I also have gotten into a screaming fight with my mother like pretty consistently on Thanksgiving Day. For like not being a sufficient kitchen slave. So
right.
That's why I tend to get out of town now. And actually this year we're going to Paris together, but nobody's cooking.
So what? We're gonna go.
Yeah.
That sounds so nice.
I'm pretty excited.
Great. By the way, Katie Compa does some travel.
I do.
She fucking does it real well.
I'm really, really good at packing and carrying on my bag. I mean, I should like record a YouTube tutorial about packing. I'm really good at it.
And you could become a little YouTube star.
Yeah, right.
And then that'll be your
career.
I'll
just put on way too much highlighter and show you how to pack a bag.
Ashley, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, I usually go home to Buffalo.
Oh my God.
That's where I'm from.
I did not know you were from Buffalo.
Yeah.
Is it snowing by then?
Sometimes. Mm. Sometimes it'll be like 3 to 7 feet of snow, and then sometimes it'll be just clear as
nice,
day.
Nice.
The tradition was that I sign up for the turkey trot and rarely run it because it usually is too cold. So my rule, if it's below 21 degrees, I won't run.
Oh, so there's a wait. So there's
no.
just like you have an administrative tradition of signing up for something.
Yes. It goes to charity.
It's like paperwork.
It's
your tradition is paperwork.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you gonna run it under 21 degrees? I'm not going under 42.
I did a fucking turkey trot once in Lexington, Massachusetts, with an ex-boyfriend who shall remain nameless because he was garbage. But
that's not nameless. I know garbage.
We've all dated him, right?
Oh,
we
yeah.
have
oh.
all dated him. And I did this turkey trot, and it was, I mean, I think it was like not under 21. Wait, your threshold is 21?
Yeah.
Why is it, what's 21?
She's from Buffalo.
What is 21?
I don't know. That's where my body starts to get cold.
Oh, but like at 23, you're like,
I'm
this
fine.
Is fine. Okay.
If it's under 50, my ears start to hurt if I'm outside for more than 20 minutes. So
50?
Oh, yeah.
Are you from fucking Brazil? Get
no,
out of here.
I lived in San Francisco for too long and it
ears.
Made me soft, I think.
Oh my God. This was like, I think it was like 25, between 25 and 30 or something like that. And I was so nervous about being cold. The thing about a turkey trot, it doesn't last forever.
No.
So that's an interesting, you know, thing to remember.
What are they, 5K?
Yeah.
Ours is an 8K.
That's far.
A little different, but you're going from one specific point to
are you a runner?
City Hall. I sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. I was.
I am, you know, I'm just a guy who sometimes does a like a little jog, you know.
I've been asked to participate in a lot of turkey trots and I've said no. Always.
You know what? After doing it that one time, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this every year in whatever town I'm in. And then I never did it again. But I do, you know, I do love the idea of that mm-hmm. kind of an active thing being a part of your day, a day that's so
slothful. I'll do like a turkey constitutional. I'll do like a 1.5 mile around like a lake, you know,
yes,
or something.
Yes, a turkey constitutional.
Maybe I'll sign up for that this year. And
that's,
not do that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Do you always do the family?
I do, but this year my brothers are both going to their respective girlfriends' families.
Okay.
So now as the single child,
yeah.
I'm coming back alone.
And are you, I mean,
do maybe you guys should book tickets to Paris.
I know.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
What are we
actually
thinking about that? That's interesting. Like, and has your family always embraced the significant O's that come through?
They weren't really there.
Oh, okay.
Until, I mean, I think I had brought one or two home at some point.
Was it Canadian. Awkward? Was it okay?
Oh, my God. My mom is like everyone's dream mother-in-law.
Oh, amazing. Okay.
So she's the sweetest lady. And she's an awesome cook.
Right. Helps. So it's worked out.
Yeah.
Have either of you had any of those awkward political conversations around the table?
No. My mom has a good friend who's boyfriend is like from blue collar Baltimore, and he'll say some like kind of ignorant stuff, but mostly by the end of the night everybody's like wasted because my mom has her friends come and they like to drink.
Nice.
So yeah,
I want to do a marijuana Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Have done it.
Have you done
yes,
it?
Yes, very thankful.
And did it lead to more eating?
Oh yeah.
Because
I had to take a nap break at
yeah,
one
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah. Because I feel like I'm overwhelmed. I want to do more eating than I'm physically capable, but I feel like if I had more marijuana in
yeah,
my system,
it would work.
I could just fit more in
uh-huh.
there.
Yeah.
And
you'll at least feel like less hurty.
Right. I've almost never, and I think we talked about Thanksgiving maybe 2 years ago. So those of you who remember this episode, let's just be honest that you don't remember the episode. So I may be repeating myself, but I almost never go home because I'm from California. I've been on the East Coast forever. And so the calculation is always like, do I want to pay for a plane ticket twice?
And travel that week,
which sucks. Yeah. It's worse than traveling for Christmas because
terrible.
It's such a distinct, like everyone's trying to leave on Wednesday. It just sucks. Mm-hmm. So I just tend to not do it. My man, who I married to, he's a huge fan of just doing pizza and like cupcakes. He's like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to cook. I don't want there to be any like demands on our time at all. The rest of the year, all we do is shit we don't want to do. Let this
and
day
be full
sloth.
And if the point of the day is to be thankful, then like, yeah, I'm with that. Like,
yeah.
If it was up to me to cook, that would be my solution.
100%.
Pizza and cupcakes, hands down.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's been delightful. I mean, I gotta be honest. It's been quite delightful. But I also am filled with guilt because I'm like, his family lives in Connecticut and, you know, we should go and see them. And we do see them on occasion. It's not like we're, you know, we've
I mean, if it's his family, then it's kind of his call.
Right. You know? Completely. And I don't know. I totally am I'm the lady who is like always pushing him to be like, let's go see your family. Mm-hmm. Where, you know what I mean? Where he's like not pushing anyone. You know what I mean? And so
I definitely think not for Thanksgiving. Like, but if you're going to push, then like have like a Sunday dinner or something like that. But
right.
Thanksgiving, if he wants to order pizza, that is like
we just
amazing.
Did a Saturday brunch
okay.
with them. So I feel pretty good
yeah,
about
that's
that.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, with the baby.
That's
and
right
the whole
about where
thing.
You want to be.
Yeah.
Much less work than a Thanksgiving.
Now, my question for you is as someone who now has this baby, do I have some sort of an obligation for the historical archives known as Instagram to have some sort of a setting that involves a turkey so that I can take a photo of my baby with that turkey?
Optional.
If you're not going to have Thanksgiving at home, then I mean, that's like, I'm thinking about when she goes to high school and college and she's like explaining Thanksgiving to people and having it explained to her, you know, how it's different. And that'll be weird. But I mean, in terms of like your content, sure.
No, I mean, forget. Yeah. It's like, is it, I guess when you have a child.
You mean for her TBT?
Like for her, you know, to look back on her life and be like, oh, my parents, they did these lovely things that are part of the American tradition. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm like, yeah, we fucking ate pizza on your first Thanksgiving, so that's how we did it. Like, is that kind of weird?
I mean, no, I don't think she should take it personally. You know?
I have no pictures of me with a turkey, I don't think.
Okay, I don't even know if that's a thing. Yeah. I'm making it sound like that's a thing.
Yeah,
but
I
can imagine.
So. I honestly think that pictures kind of get lost in the shuffle at Thanksgiving because you're so busy like eating and like getting the food ready and watching football if you're a guy, you know.
And also, I would like for everyone to do a digital detox. I hope very much that they aren't posting anything and they're not
No, it's pretty obnoxious.
Well, so they are.
They
I
are,
actually
but
do
posting,
a digital
it's all
feed. I don't
food
watch.
Pictures. Nothing's photos of people. It's generally
right.
Food.
Nothing's like this is my racist uncle who's really into the Muslim ban. That would be an interesting photo. I mean, there's something about I do have a family member who's a big Trump person, which is extra weird because he came here from Iran.
Wow.
You know what I mean? He escaped the throes of war. You know, over the border of Turkey, and waited for an interview at the American consulate in Istanbul for months. Like, braved. You know, I mean, he did all of this. I mean, he really went through it to get to this country. He really fucking went through it. And I think in some way, I think in some ways he really, really deeply appreciates that, appreciates it. And what his appreciation has turned into very much like, how does this now serve me?
Yes.
I went through all of this and this isn't about. So he's not into this like my neighbor's thing. Like he doesn't think, you know, he's one of those people that thinks that the border, there should be a wall, that there are too many immigrants. Even though he's an immigrant, you know,
that's common.
And I'm just shocked by it. And I never know what to say. What would you guys say?
I mean, I would like start some shit at the dinner table is what I would do.
Oh, you're that. You're like, let's get into it.
I mean, now these days I'm like, this isn't like my point of view versus your point of view. This is like what's true
right
and what's
wrong.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. You know,
I don't care.
Sorry, Mom, but we're going to do this.
Right.
But I don't think that's necessarily, you know, the best approach.
It's just
something that I can't help doing.
What would you do, Ashley?
So my brother's usually... when he is around and he has a few drinks, he used to work for Hillary. So I know he always has the facts to back up I start.
Yeah.
But I usually
That's
would just
awesome.
Thank you. Oh, he's great. I usually just say, you're not more important than anyone else. And that's all I say to people. I just feel like you're not more important than anyone else, so you don't deserve more than anyone else. Like,
right.
Other people need help. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Hard because it's like, how do you convince somebody of that like basic principle?
Yeah.
You know?
Which is a basic principle.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what it...
I mean, it goes back to the fucking Enlightenment era or whatever, when they were talking about like the nature of man is this like social contract that we can all, we're gonna know the nature of man is greed and like doing shit for himself. And it is like a fundamental
It's both. Monsters and we're angels.
Well, we're monsters and so we need the social contract to like, but you have to be self-aware that like your monstrousness is not okay.
Mark Zuckerberg.
What is that Thanksgiving like?
I don't want to know.
Oh my God.
It's lockdown. Don't worry. No one problematic is invited.
And,
it's probably VR, honestly.
It's like a hologram turkey.
Yeah.
Wasn't Facebook?
It's a Black Mirror Thanksgiving.
Wasn't Facebook selling those cameras that like rotate around the
room?
There's
stuff. There's like something with that today. The portal.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they're
what?
Like pulling in data from something that like no one gave them permission.
Obviously.
To.
Obviously, yeah. I mean, of course they're pulling in data. Don't get that shit for your home, yeah. You guys. I mean, and it's we've talked about this, but like I don't want. First of all, when it comes to that Thanksgiving conversation in which someone is inevitably racist,
yes,
I don't need a fucking.
I'm unplugging the Alexa
Google
wherever
home
I'm at.
Or
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, like recording
those
that conversation.
Creep me out.
Creep me out. Do you have one at home?
No.
Do you have one at home?
I do, but I only really talk to my dog.
And the Alexa.
And
the Alexa.
Your dog is not so polemical. Yeah.
The dog is
a pretty tame conversation.
Yeah. No, I mean, I will say, okay, there are times when I'm like, oh, it'd be nice if I could just turn to a thing and be like, how many cups of chicken broth am I supposed to put in the, you know what I mean? Yeah. That sounds nice. But also, am I so fucking incapable that I can't pull it up on this magic machine that they've already built, thin and light and nice and pretty.
And that whose attention I have to get, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like with a quick little click of the finger. It's also has voice recognition in it. So it's not like I even have to type very much. Like I can do all of that. Also, what happened to fucking cookbooks? You know what I mean? Yes. Let's pull out one of those dusty fucking 700
grease stain on it.
Yes. You know, I went, my mom wanted the Julia Child's original, whatever the fuck that was called, French cookbook. And it was like bringing, and if it was for Christmas, and brought it home and we were looking through. And it just was like, it had this like, just this presence in the kitchen. You know what I mean? Of like some kind of stately.
Absolutely.
You know? Oh, do you want
like,
to know
now
how to
we're
do
cooking.
Right, right. Would you like to know how to do a nice creme anglaise on the fucking raspberry tartine like that? You just pull one of those up and fuck, it's so nice. So I do think there's something Thanksgiving is analog.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like
that is a good day to unplug from things.
It's a good day to unplug from things or watch sports, but doing it communally, you know what I mean? Which I also like to totally never understood the sports on Thanksgiving.
I don't get it either. Yeah.
Me neither. Didn't get it.
I mean, it's, you know, I think it's predicated on like women do all the cooking. So what do the men have to do? Nothing.
Put them in a separate room.
Get them out of the kitchen. Stop bothering me.
Yeah. It's such an old timey thing. I don't, you know, I don't understand.
And I'm also like, shouldn't they get to go have Thanksgiving? Like, couldn't we just give them the, you know, we don't really need Thanksgiving football anymore, but the people who are into it are really into it.
Yeah. But also they're getting paid several gajillion dollars to put themselves in harm's way and medically abuse themselves. Yeah. So I guess they want to play on Thanksgiving. Oh, my God. I had one more question for you guys. Okay, here's what it is. So we live in New York City. Have you guys ever done the Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Never. Oh, you know what? Maybe.
What? I feel like when you should like, remember if you've done it or not. It seems like it's a memorable event.
I don't know
event.
What parade it was. I just remember a lot of like backs of adults' heads. So I'm pretty sure that. I'm pretty sure, yeah,
oh, like
I did
as
go
a
once.
Child.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, it's balloons, so you do see them. But
right.
It was like fine. I would prefer a protest, honestly.
I've never done it. Have you done it?
No, I watch it on TV.
Right. Yeah. I think there's something lovely about watching it on TV and the thing. I mean, I don't know. There is something about that speaks to my kind of child. You know, my parents would put it on. And again, my parents are Iranian. So, like, my mom, she was just like, ugh. Like, she was annoyed to have to make a Thanksgiving dinner. And we didn't have a lot of extended families. We're the only ones that came here from Iran. So she would take these, like, Persian rice dishes and use that as stuffing inside the turkey. And she would like literally put saffron on the turkey. And so this was like a very Persian Thanksgiving.
I love that.
I mean, yeah, it was.
That's I do like Thanksgiving too, because it's a secular holiday, you know? It's like, and it's, if you want to go to the movies, nobody's at the movies.
Oh, it's great. I've done that.
Yeah.
I've done that. I think that's what's nice about it is that it also sort of, I mean, the atrocities of the Native American history recognized horrendous, and I get that. And I would like for there to be some sort of, like, I don't know. You know, like how in, what's the Jewish holiday in the spring? Passover. You do all those, like, chants. I would like there to be some Thanksgiving, like, chanting where we, like, take back a little bit of that Native American history and talk about how we owe them a lot or something.
Yeah.
Who is out there going to write some chants for me? I want to bring that into. Wouldn't that be
nice?
It's a
good pamphlet, you know?
Wouldn't that be, like, because have you done the, like, Dayenu, like, Passover?
Yeah.
Here's, like, I'm a Muslim.
Why
I've done it so many times.
Yeah.
And so, like, I would love that to be, like, an American tradition where we sort of, like, take, like, revisit that history and take it back and make it more beautiful.
Are we the people to make that call? Probably not.
No, I'm just saying, as, like,
I'm not like Gottnagin.
I know. I'm
see the mic.
Like, no, I know. Why is a Muslim American making any? But, like, I want there to be some sort of coalition. Of I don't know what.
Acknowledgement.
Some acknowledgement. I want some poetry around the acknowledgement, and I want to wrap it into Thanksgiving. That's my eat. Like, just like, it's not a big deal, guys. Somebody out there make it happen in a really thoughtful way, please.
And that would be, like, just a lovely cap on Indigenous Peoples Day of just, like, a continuation.
Yeah, like a month long.
Yes.
Why not? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Let it be the kind of natural, like, a beautiful end, a celebratory end of, like, Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm into it. Who's going to make it happen, guys? Let me know what you guys did for Thanksgiving. I hope that you're all, I don't know, comatose on your couch, unbuttoning that top button on your pants, making room for a little more pumpkin pie, which is my favorite pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down.
And
it's not even that filling, so you can keep eating it even seconds later in the night.
And it's, like, kind of healthy?
Yeah.
It's pumpkin?
Yep. Get out of here.
It's true.
Healthy.
It's true.
I mean,
I live by that.
There's, like, a 1.5% health metric in it, but yeah. But keep eating it, you guys. And I hope you have a lot of gluten. And...
I will, guarantee.
And you know, and I hope you have a nice turkey constitutional.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right, guys. That's our show, you guys. That's it. I want to thank you for listening, and I also want to thank the production team here at Fake the Nation. That's our producer Harry Nelson, our audio engineer Andy Christensen, our panelists Ashley England, Katie Kampa, Matt Gorley, and Vicky Kupperman. Gabi Alter wrote our theme music, and Lily Fleshler helps with research. Dear listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, guest ideas that you might have. You could leave us a voicemail at 347-770-4881 or drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. If you like what you hear, leave us a review at Apple Podcasts. It helps people find the show. Guys, happy Thanksgiving. You're the best.